Honored to talk to you more so than you me, because you're the rock star.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice. So you've heard the show before?
I have indeed.
Oh, great. Great.
I really enjoyed the one you did with Rich Hope.
Who is Rich Hope?
Didn't you do Peace of Revolution?
Oh, Richard Grove?
Richard Grove. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I would love to put you two together. That would be a very interesting discussion.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I will do that.
How's my sound?
Your sound is great.
Excellent.
And you still can't see me. I'm wondering why.
Cannot. Can you see me?
Yeah. Yeah. That looks perfect. Wow. What a great shot.
Oh, thanks. I wonder if this light here, is that too much?
You don't need it. It was fine
okay.
without it.
Good.
My lighting is not going to be good because we use the studio that a Free Stater owns, and I used to do a video show from here every week, and I moved out to Keene, so I had like a lighting kit that was in here, and I took it out, so the lighting is not good.
You know, I'm brand new to this stuff, Brett, with the podcast and stuff, so I'm still trying to do this by Braille, so any tips and techniques that I can get from you and other worthies would be great.
Sure, yeah, that'd be, so you actually have started a podcast?
You know, I haven't. I'm ambition is cheap, and I've been wanting to do one, audio first and then possibly video. I'd love to do it, but I'm simply not smart enough about it. So,
you sound good. You would need, I don't know. I think you could get set up for $100 maybe. Like all you would really need is a USB microphone. And
I've got one. I've got the AT2500, the Audio Technica.
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, that's
yeah. That's as a matter of fact. Here, I'm going to show it to you on the camera. There it is.
Okay. Was that one of Michael Dean's recommendations?
Indeed, it was.
Okay. Yeah, Michael said the same thing to me. It would be good for like mobile setups. Like if I had to do a show on the road because I travel a little bit. So I have a one USB mic that I actually used for a long time before I got a mixer. And some better equipment. And we're looking to do like a major upgrade here. We're looking to build another studio to do video.
Well, you know, one thing that Michael's taught me is that you don't have to spend a lot to get really quality equipment now. Like he's got a $600 mic, but I paid probably $70 off Amazon for this AT2500. And all the radio and media interviews that I do, I've gotten no complaints since I've started using it.
Yeah. And I'm just checking sound. Okay. So as far as audio goes, we both look great. And here's what I'm thinking about doing. I'm thinking about using Ustream to record us. I'm going to have to fix your shot a little, not that way, this way. And that will allow people that will allow people to spy on us if they want, but it would probably be like three or four very dedicated people who will hear us record. Cause I'm not like announcing it. I'm not telling anyone that we're doing it, but Ustream is good for, recording like, multiple camera setups. So even though you can't see me, it still says my camera's loading. I don't know why.
That's fine. I use a Mac, by the way. So sometimes it doesn't communicate properly.
Oh yeah. And, for video stuff, I recommend, PCs. Unless you did like, I mean, depends on you could use Google Hangouts, and that's pretty Mac friendly for,
you know, at my day job, we use PCs, of course, but here in the house, we're almost exclusively Mac. I'm waiting for the last PC laptop to die before I replace it. Cause I just despise PCs.
I really would love to be a Mac user. Yeah. But I just haven't been able to. I have a Mac Mini, and it's actually harder than I thought to like switch back and forth between the two.
It is indeed, because there's some intuitive things that we do with our hands. Like I use a trackpad for mine, and I love it. But then I have to go back to a mouse on occasion, like at work. Mm-hmm. So now I think we're LinkedIn now, right? On LinkedIn per se, Brett.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so I'm just going to start a stream. So from this point on, people technically would be able, if they wanted to listen in on us. But I'm thinking at 11 a.m. Eastern on a Saturday, there's not going to be too many people who do that.
Sure. And are you thinking about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours? Or?
I would say we should shoot for an hour. If we run a little long today, that's okay. Yesterday, it would not. I had like a hard break at the hour mark. So the preparation that I actually did was fairly minimal because I listened to, let's see, I listened to you on Freedom Fiends, I listened to you on Bad Quaker, and I listened to, Anarchast with Jeff Berwick at Porkfest. Okay. And I totally missed you at Porkfest. I mean, I was there, I was there about half the time.
I can't believe that because I told Ben Stone that I think your work that you're doing is so critically important because you're hitting one of the pillar foundations that allows the state to continue, wreaking the havoc it does.
I agree with you. I thought this was the place. I mean, in addition to, I just saw this as a softer sell than some of the family stuff. You know, like I really value the work that that Stefan Molyneux does, like most of the work that Stefan Molyneux does. But it's not a good way to introduce people. You have to be somewhat comfortable with the philosophy before you can start treading into that very emotionally volatile territory of family and even child psychology a little bit. It's really, really important, but school just seemed like such a soft sell. Like, who are we trying to attract?
Yeah,
I mean, like, I think that these ideas are most accessible and acceptable to people who are under the age of 30, right?
Yes.
So they, and really, if we could get them, or at least interest them as teenagers, that would be awesome before... Not that there isn't value in, ending the Fed or trying to get somebody like Ron Paul elected. But that's those are high burnout operations, you know?
Yes,
so I hate to see somebody who's like 20 fall in love with these ideas, say, but also have a kind of naivete about the whole political system and how it works and say, great, let's get this Ron Paul elected. And that will, will set us on the path to freedom. And then, they expend a considerable amount of effort doing that. And then they're 21 and they're like, okay, I've had it.
I can't get on board with Stefan's psychology, psychiatry, therapeutic state stuff because I'm a Thomas Sasse follower.
Okay.
He's the one who wrote the myth of mental illness and other things. So I do think that psychology and psychiatry, especially harnessed to the state, has become a weaponized version of altering people's minds. And I think, by the way, it's in concert with the government schooling process. I think they run side by side.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that we, that was my big wake up actually is when I started in education, I worked in a boarding school that was quote unquote private. But all of the kids who went there, I mean, you can't really call that private because it was entirely made possible by state money. So kids would essentially become wards of the state in states like New York, Maryland, in Washington, D.C., Vermont. The school was in Vermont. And then they would pay tuition. The states would pay tuition for them to come to the school. Depending on the kids' issues, it could be anywhere from $80,000 to $150,000 a year of state money. So if these kids are basically, under state control, they're on Medicaid, right? And Medicaid comes with drugs, right?
Yep.
That's like they go hand in hand. And, I was a med person. As my responsibilities increased, I was the one handing out meds to these kids. And
oh my gosh,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you are not an MD or you are an MD?
Oh, no. All you have to be is med certified, right?
See, that's what astonishes me about the whole thing. I mean, imagine if nurses could prescribe and by the way, I'm a huge skeptic of the food industry, the nutritional industry, the AMA, the government medical complex, all of that stuff. But imagine if you take the med course that you're talking about, and you're certified at a doctor's office just to hand out scripts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it
amazing.
Was the way it worked is like, I was basically the job was residential counselor and I couldn't like, if a kid started acting out or something, I couldn't be like, hey, here, take a Klonopin. You know, like I couldn't do that. But I, there were med schedules. Kids had morning meds, noon meds, evening meds, and bedtime meds. And the nurses had to stock the med room with all the drugs. And then I could stand at a window and hand them out. So, I mean, I gave more drugs to kids than certainly at this point in my life with this level of knowledge than I'm comfortable really reflecting on. And, you know, one of the hardest things was obviously the weight gain, the lethargy, the no noticeable change in behavior, you know, like giving a kid 35 pills a day, different pills, an 110-pound kid. And this is where I was very liberal at the time. And what I realized was, okay, this is how the state takes care of people.
When you say liberal, Brett, do you mean collectivist?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And I had taken it, you know, I think I started with good intentions. Like I was really into, like Zinn's book was, People's History was
Howard Zinn,
really, transformational for me because it was the first time that I was exposed to anything that wasn't the public school Disney version of history.
Absolutely.
And, that
really, I hope we can discuss that today on your program.
Yeah, absolutely. We can let this go. I figured we'd just start with the homeschooling stuff and we can just see where it goes. These are,
wonderful.
These are my, favorite types of discussions. And the two that I did before this that were more like free form that didn't have like a specific, okay, here's the agenda. Here's what we have to accomplish.
Yeah.
I did one with Michael Dean. It was fantastic. And then I did, two with Ben Stone. That
excellent.
Wound up being two parters. So, I mean, we can certainly cover a lot of ground. I can split it into two parts. If we run out of time today, then we can do it again. Like that was my big thing was, why haven't I had this guy on my show before? You know, like this is it's nice to hear somebody who has you know, your experience saying a lot of the same things that I've talked about. You know, your background is very interesting to me, and I was hoping we could get into that a little bit as well.
We can, of course. I find myself I am an oddity in liberty circles because I spent most of my adult life in the legions. So,
Absolutely. All right. So I'm just going to start a new mark here. Where are we at? All right.
Great.
All right. So yeah, why don't we just get going? Because the conversation is really just going to be like this. So
I love it, Brett. And again, I'm so honored at the invitation. I can't tell you how. I mean, I just feel like I'm a rock star now.
I'm honored to hear that. That means a lot to me. So let's just all right. I'm almost there's like six windows that I'm managing here between audio and video.
Certainly.
So I'm just all right.
Is the camera good for you? Should I adjust this?
It's perfect.
Upper.
No, you could leave it just how it is. Yeah.
Just good. Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right. So I'm going to do a clap and that will be the mark and then we'll start.
The engineering marvels, the scientific marvels, all this kind of stuff. And of course, it's because a lot of that has been arrested by the state. But if there is to be a golden age for home education, we're there right now.
I could not agree more. And that's one of the things that I'm so enthusiastic about. And I think we could leave it there. I could end the show, Bill, when you said that with some nice music, and that would be perfect, actually.
Well, let's do that. But I hate to be insistent, but there's so much more for you and I to talk about.
Absolutely. No, I was gonna say we should How often are you on with like Ben or Michael? Do you guys have like a routine schedule? You do once a month?
No, we do. I'm on once or twice a month with Michael and with Ben. Ben said that I've been on his show more than anybody but Jeff Tucker. But Jeff Tucker beat me to that about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could go on Ben's show again, look, if I could come on and discuss this stuff with you, I'd be honored. And if Thaddeus Russell came on with me, I'd be honored. Now, mind you, I am not a credentialed historian, so I don't have all the high-powered, low-speed, high-drag academic credentials that Thaddeus does.
Sure.
But I can still hold my own to a certain extent.
Right, right. I'll definitely run that idea by him. He and I were planning to do maybe about three more shows together. People in my crowd are clamoring for a debate with Stefan Molyneux. I think we're kind of realizing that that is probably not going to be productive. There might just be too much of a rift between them. But I think, you know, a discussion, a historical discussion between you and Thaddeus Russell would be amazing. I think the audience would love it.
Richard Grove. Not that Richard Grove and Thaddeus Russell, because Richard and I agree, I think, and I'm being presumptuous, I'm probably 99%, although I'm not as conspiratorial.
That would actually be a really interesting discussion, because I do, that's always kind of going on in the background for me, like, okay, what about, you know, when we're talking about all of these things that seem to really, for me, from my understanding right now, seem to be at least driven or at least set in motion by secret meetings that happened in closed rooms, right?
There's no doubt that those meetings take place. As a matter of fact, while we were at Porkfest, Robert Anthony Peters and I stopped at Bretton Woods, the resort.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we had our picture taken in front of the sign and the gold room so we could show photographic evidence that we have been to the scene of the crime of the creation of the IMF. But I'm a very, I guess I subscribe to Hanlon's Law, which I'm paraphrasing, don't chalk up to conspiracy what you can chalk up to incompetence when it comes to the state. And I just see a whole lot of that going on. I'm not dismissing the secret meetings. Obviously, Bretton Woods, the IMF, Jekyll Island, all these kind of things. Those have taken place. But I think it tends to be intellectually impoverished, because you'll notice that proof is very hard to come by.
Yeah, that really is the trick. And you know, I always said there's two things that the state can be, right? There's two things that really are really that government can be, because I think the state is broader. But I think the state has to do with the people as well. But government itself, yeah, there's this question that new libertarians might ask themselves, which is government really bad at doing good things, or is it really good at doing bad things? And I think it's really a combination of the two. I think there's the things that are set up really either to control or pacify people, which obviously have their roots in the progressive ideology. And, yeah, you know, that's social welfare. That's I don't even want to add school, because I think school is pretty damn successful. That all sucks. You know, like the things that are set up to serve you, yeah, that's the sucking part. But you know, CIA, they got their act together. You know, the NSA, I mean, even though it's like, yeah, look at this bureaucracy and they supposedly can't find a chain of emails or whatever.
Come on. The NSA has Lois Lerner's emails.
Right. Right. Well, I think there are people in government who certainly have, their act together, you know,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you as far as when it comes to that, but I would also, there's an impossible calculus that the state uses to justify everything that it does that you and I would severely disagree with, and that's that immoral means can come up with moral ends. That is impossible. And absent the use of violence, and I would go so far as to say as absent the use of terrorism, which is politically motivated violence against noncombatants and innocents, absent the use of the threat of violence, the use of violence and terrorism, the government couldn't exist for 24 hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as a tentative plan, you and I could reconvene in a month and I could work on those other guys for you. I think those would be fascinating discussions, and I'd be happy to do it on my show. And I would sit in the back seat. I would, you know,
have to, though.
I know. I know.
You seem extraordinarily well-read, articulate, all the rest of it. So I, it'd be fun to have you join in.
Okay, well, that's great. So why don't we just plan to, touch base in the next couple of weeks? And you can let me know what you're writing about, what's piquing your interest at any time.
Okay.
And that can be like a jumping off point for a discussion like we had today. That would be awesome, Bill.
Okay, terrific. Well, if this is the conclusion, then... again, I'm so honored, Brett, to be on your show, to meet you, to get to know you, intellectually and in conversation. So it's been terrific.
Great. Likewise, I'm really glad we finally did this, and I totally agree. We should definitely do more of it in the future, Bill.
I'd love to. Thanks so much. Thanks for everything.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye.
I wonder if anyone's watching this, because now I'm just a man sitting here by himself. So I'm going to open the live stream and see what's going on. Wouldn't it be interesting if there was 100 people tuned in? Let's see. Nope. Nobody. All right. Good night.